Welcome to the Living Rock Podcast.
God gave me a great message for me and for you as well, for us as a church. And I really hope that you'll find this a sound thing to think about and to take it in your life. And you'll learn something from what I'm going to share today. As you know, normally, or we started this year to talk about attributes of God. We had Easter a week ago, and I thought that I still want to feel the Easter, the feelings. Easter went too fast, to be honest. So today I'm going to speak of something which happened exactly a week after Easter, in a day like this. I'm going to talk about one of Jesus' disciples, which probably some of us or all of us can identify with in a way or another. So I called my message, Stop Doubting and Believe, reset by Jesus. Probably you know who is that disciple which I'm going to talk about. So today we're going to look on one of Jesus' disciples, one of the 12, and his name was Thomas. It's someone who you don't find very often mentioned in the Bible. Sometimes maybe not in the best way of giving him an example. But I think we have something to learn from him. And we should look on his life before he was really changed by Jesus and what happened with him after that. And we are all in that journey, to be honest. So Thomas represents that person, a man or a woman, who always is questioning, is that really happening? Or is that really true? Or how come that is possible? Or it always has something to say against someone. It's always doubting that what's happening in the world is not, it's true, or maybe just someone playing conspiracy games with us. This is Thomas. Do you know a person who is like Thomas? Maybe it's here. Don't raise the hand. But somehow we all identify with Thomas because we also have questions about things and we intend to, ask for many proofs in order to believe. And this message is for you. It's for me. It's for us today. So the disciples of Jesus, they were all very different. We have Thomas. We also have the opposite of Thomas, which was Peter. So Peter was always very, fast in taking actions, but not thinking about them. Thomas, it's exactly the opposite of Peter. He is like first thinking, then coming out probably with a crazy question or something which doesn't make too much sense. We also have the Thunder Brothers. We know how they were. We also have Judah, an imposter, if I can say that. So those 12 who were walking with Jesus, they were all different. Why? Because we can only identify ourselves with one of those 12. The way they were acting, the way they were walking day by day. So today we're going to look at Thomas. So if that's okay with you, let's open the Bible to John chapter 11. Today I'm going to read only from John, from three different chapters. So if you want to follow me, it's going to be very easy. So John 11, starting from 6 to 16. Let me have a glass of water first. So when Jesus heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jewish tried to stone you, and yet you are going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus was falling asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, now Thomas come, also known as Didymus, which means a twin, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Let us also go, that we may die with him. So, what I read here is the part when Jesus received the news that his friend Lazarus is sick, he's very ill. However, Jesus decides to stay two more days where he was, not returning. Why? Because he wanted to perform a great miracle for us today. Lazarus was dead, but Jesus raised him up from the dead. And because of that, we have this great testimony. So, by Jesus returning in that place, it was a big concern from his disciples, because that was the place when Jesus had to actually run away because the Jewish tried to stone him. So his disciple was like, if he's just sleeping, as you said, why should we go there? He's going to be all right. They were afraid to go. So Jesus tells them, look, guys, he's not sleeping. He's actually dead. So the disciples were really afraid, because Jesus could face stones, he could die, but also they were afraid for their own lives, because walking with Jesus, it means that they are a part of Jesus' closest friends, so they will face the same punishment. Thomas comes in action. Some people say he was brave. To be honest, my own opinion is that he was not brave. He was acting like more ironic, like, okay, let us also go and die with him if he wants to go there. Okay. And it's very interesting that Thomas didn't say it to Jesus. In the Bible says he turned to the rest of the disciples. So in some way, like Jesus was not listening, but Jesus knows everything. So Thomas said only to his to Jesus' disciples, let us also go and die with him. Duh. You know? So it's very important to really clarify this, because some people may take this as Thomas being brave and saying something, yeah, let's go and die with Jesus, I'm up for it. No, it wasn't like that. My opinion, if you want to question this, I'm here in the end. So please note one of Thomas's first characteristics. He is pessimistic. What this means, I look in the dictionary, says, a tendency to see the worst aspect of things or believe that the worst will happen. Pessimism is a mental attitude in which an undesirable outcome is anticipated from a given situation. Pessimists tend to focus on the negatives of life in general. So again, why did Jesus choose a guy like Thomas, a pessimist, to be a part of his 12 close friends? Because today, we need to identify with Thomas, maybe. Maybe you are a Thomas guy, as I said in the beginning. And you have no excuse from now on. If you are a pessimist type of person, you cannot go to Jesus in the end and say, look, Jesus, I look in the Bible, I haven't saw no pessimist guy who followed you, and in the end, he decided to really believe in you. And I'm that guy, and I couldn't find anything in the Bible, so I'm still pessimistic that you exist. No. Thomas was a pessimistic person, so that who today is has this thought of being pessimistic can identify with Thomas and see what happens to him, because he will not remain the same. Thomas will be resetted. He will be transformed. But we're going to see that a little bit later. We have plenty of people like Thomas today. Maybe someone in our house is like that. Or maybe you are. Or definitely you know someone who is pessimist, always having some negative things to say. Whatever is happening, he only sees the half part of the cup. He's always like just spreading negative news, only looking for like negative things. Like he's gonna he has a hunger for negative things. There are people who are like this today, but thanks God, not in this church. Another thing that I want to mention about Thomas is that he is unsure about things. So what means unsure? Not feeling, showing, or done with confidence and certainty. So in order to see this in Thomas's life, we're going to look in John chapter 14 from 1 to 6. I told you we're going to stay in John today. So John 14, 1 with 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, Thomas is unsure. He just heard Jesus telling exactly what is going to happen. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, to my Father's, to prepare a room for you. Then I'm going to come back and take you with me. Jesus gave the information. Jesus was very clear about what's going to happen. He wasn't playing hide and seek. Like, come and look for me. I don't know. You don't know where I'm going. Actually, he told them, I'm going to the Father to prepare a room for you. So then I can come back and take you with me. So why Thomas is acting like this? Why is he asking, we don't know the way? Or we don't know where you're going? Jesus just said. Some people need, again, reassurance, again, more information, again, more and more and more things in order to believe. But with some people, you can give them all the information you want. They will still have questions. They will still doubt. They will still play unsure. Why? Why? So Jesus is asking, it's answering to only the second part, because the first part, Jesus already said, I'm going to the Father to prepare a room. And then Jesus says something which I'm very happy that Thomas asked the question. Because Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the only way to go to heaven, brothers and sisters. The only way to go to heaven is through Jesus. And I'm happy that Thomas asked this question, so that people today who believe that if I'm a good person, even if I don't believe in this Jesus, if I'm just a good moral person, I don't steal, I don't lie too much, I don't drink in excess, I don't do, you know, all these crazy things, I'm a good person, I don't need Jesus. Me is enough to go into heaven. No, it's not. You are not enough to go to heaven. Sorry for telling me straight to face. You are not good enough without Jesus to go to heaven. You can look in your mirror and admire yourself as much as you want. Without Jesus, there is no way for you to go there. And it's not me saying this, it's Jesus. Jesus said it, I am the way. Yeah. There may be other religions in this world, and they are. But without Jesus, none of them will take you into heaven. None of them will take you to the heaven. So it's good to ask questions. But ask to the right person and be ready to receive the answer and take it. The only way to go to heaven is Jesus. And that's it. That's it. Point. Amen. The third characteristic of Thomas is that he is skeptical about things, which means not easily convinced, having doubts or reservations. So if you go to John chapter 20, 19 to 21, this is the last part. So this action is happening exactly a week after the Sunday Easter, like today. And that's why I really wanted to have this message, because it's really related to the time that we live. So let's hear John 20 from 19 to 29. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Please note this, he was not there. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So Jesus appears in the room where the disciples were meeting a week after he was crucified. And all the disciples, they were very afraid. In fact, it says that all the doors were locked. However, Jesus managed to end up in the middle of them. How? I don't know. Ask Jesus and he will tell you. And Jesus says, "Peace to you." Because that was exactly what the disciples needed the most. Peace. They were afraid. They were inside. But still, they were meeting together. Except one guy. Thomas. Thomas was not there. And Thomas missed this encounter that Jesus had with the disciples because he chose to stay home. Thomas was missing from the church, from the meeting, and in fact, he missed a lot than just him being there. He missed the presence of Jesus. So Thomas, in order to be convinced that Jesus really is alive, in verse 25, he has three conditions. "If I don't see the mark of the nails of his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his sides, I will never believe." There is a huge difference between a skeptical person and a non-believer. A skeptical person has questions or looking for reasons to believe, looking for answers and for proof. A non-believer is not looking to believe. It's not interested in it at all. A non-believer, no matter how many proofs you're going to show him or how many things you're going to tell him, he's already set up to don't believe. A skeptical person, it's ready to believe if you're ready to answer or to show. And Thomas, by walking with Jesus, he was not acting like a non-believer. He was one of the 12. So let's not think about Thomas like a guy who, I don't know, was there by mistake. He wasn't there by mistake. He was a believer. He believed in Jesus. But he was unsure. He had questions. He wanted more in order to believe. And that's not that bad, to be honest. A solid faith first needs to go through a time of asking questions, being skeptical about. However, a solid faith will never remain in that place of skepticism. It will need to move forward and become a solid faith. So, in your journey with Jesus, probably in the beginning, you'll have a lot of questions about the Bible, about the wonders, about the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and everything what is written in the Bible. It's good to have questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ask them. But then it's a time for you to receive the answer and to move forward in faith so that you can grow from that guy who is skeptical or looking for, I don't know, a time or for proofs to believe, to a guy who will say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. So this is Thomas, a guy who has pessimism, who is always unsure and skeptical. And still one of Jesus' disciples. Yeah. There is room for you too then, and for me as well. Yeah. So what's next? If you are a Thomas kind of person, this is what you need to do. Or if you know someone who is acting like Thomas, this is what you need to tell them to do. Number one, recognize who you are. Acknowledge that you have a problem. Thomas said very honest, look guys, I can't just believe you. I need to see him with my own eyes. I need to see him. I need to put my finger in order to believe. That was his problem. And he was ready to admit it. I need proofs to believe. So, if you're a Thomas, you need to be honest with yourself and recognize that you have this problem in believing. And then see what do you need to do in order to believe. However, please don't ask for a hand to appear and write on the wall and anything like that. We should not force God's hands in order for us to believe. Read the Bible. Talk with someone who has a solid faith, and he will point you in the right direction. But first, you need to recognize that you are a pessimist. You need to acknowledge that you have a problem. Number two, point out what is your dilemma. What exactly stops you from believing? Until the moment Jesus appears to the disciples in that room, there were other people who testified that Jesus is alive. Mary, who was at the tomb, and saw the angel who said, he's alive. Peter and John, they were also there. Those two people which were walking on the Emmaus road. Then all these disciples told to Thomas, we've seen the Jesus. He was with us in the room and you are not here. So it's not like it's first time Jesus appears. There were other moments that Thomas probably have heard from these people, because all of these was people were persons which Thomas knew who they were. Mary, Peter, and John. Thomas knew them. They were his friends. And I'm pretty sure they told him, Thomas, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. Still, he doesn't believe. Or he still needs more proofs in order to believe. I'm not sure if in English there is this word, but in Romania it's something like, if two people are telling you that you're drunk, then you need to go to sleep. I'm not sure. It's not mentioned here, however, it's just coming out. Yeah, that's true. So if two people are telling you something, then you really need to start like, well, there are two witnesses already. Yeah. But Thomas had more than two people who told him, Jesus is alive, we saw him. And probably he went to sleep because he missed that first encounter with Jesus. However, yeah, if there are people around you, maybe from your own family, your friends, even your parents, who are telling you, hey son, hey friend, Jesus is alive, you should start trusting them and believe that Jesus really is alive.
Amen.
Yeah. Number three, look for answers. So Thomas said, look guys, you saw Jesus, I want to see him too. I want to touch him so that I know he is alive. Thomas had a solution, an answer for his problem. Do you have a solution for your, let's say, question about Jesus? There are so many people today who are playing a game called active-passive. Very active, very vocal, when they have to be against something, to say negative things, to say that I don't agree with that, I don't believe with that. Do you know this kind of person, this kind of people? Always very vocal, very active, when they have something against to say. But passive, when they are looking for answers or solutions. They are just embracing no, and that's it. They have no questions, no answer, no solution. So don't be this type of person who is playing the game of active-passive. Number four and the last one is, do not isolate yourself from the group. So when Thomas saw Jesus on the cross, I think he said, well, this is the end of it. He was in depression. It's like, that's Jesus, he's dead, I followed him, that's the end. So same like all this, with all the people who are in depression, they intend to isolate, to go in their own house, in their own room, to stay alone. They don't want to socialize. They don't want to go again to meet with other people, with the friends, with the family. I'm too depressed. I can't continue my life. I just want to be left alone. And this is not just about Christianity. It's about all the other things in your life. When you receive a bad news, maybe you intend yourself to say, I don't want to talk with my husband anymore. I just want to be left alone. And you go and lock yourself in your room and say, leave me alone, darling. Take the kids, go out. I need to stay alone. But by doing this, you create the perfect environment for the enemy to start planting in your heart doubts and things to take you away from the body, from the church. And that's what Thomas did. He didn't want to go to meet again with the disciples. I think they had some sort, not a tradition, but something that they used to do very often. Meet together as a church, if I can say that, yeah? To share stories about what they did. And in that specific time, they needed one another to build their faith up because of what just happened to Jesus. And then when they heard that Jesus is alive, they wanted to join together to express that, you remember when Jesus told us that after 3 days he'll risen, it happened. But Thomas was not there. He decided to be alone, to stay alone. Don't be a Thomas. Don't stay alone when you face a problem. Go to someone. Go to someone. Especially don't try to stay away from your family. It's very easy for me. Laura is not here. I can say, oh, she's going to listen. It's very easy for me when, I don't know, I don't like something about Laura, just to go in my own room and put earphones and listen to music and just leave me alone. But that's not how you deal with life. By running, be a man. Be a woman. And just go and ask. Face the problem. Ask for solutions. Yeah. Not run. I'm not even good at running. I used to, but not anymore. Let's not run. A weak person is going to run. A strong person is going to stay there and find a solution, look for answers. And he's not going to stop until he's going to find what he's looking for. Sometimes, and most of the times, we need to find that answer on our knees, praying, reading the Bible. Coming to church, Thomas missed so much because he wasn't in that day with the other disciples when Jesus came. But he learned his lesson because next time, after 8 days, he was there. I think every day he was there. He didn't went home. He didn't want to miss. So see, there is a huge difference from someone who says, yeah, if God will show me in a dream or something, I will believe. And someone who is looking for opportunities for God to speak into his life. So Thomas missed his first chance, but second time he was there.
Yeah, good.
Because he knew that's the place when Jesus will come. That's the place when he will receive answer. And when Jesus came second time, Jesus says, peace to you, like the first time. And then he goes straight to Thomas. Why? Because he knew out of all those people who were there, Thomas needed the most to hear what Jesus wants to say or to see what Jesus wants to show. So by you coming here, rest assured, be sure that Jesus knows you. And if you have questions, if you're not sure about things, if you tell them to Jesus, when you come here, Jesus will come to you. Maybe he will speak to you with one of the songs. Maybe he will speak to you with, I don't know, when somebody in the end will gonna say something to you when you drink your coffee or your tea. Maybe when during this time when someone is here sharing the word. But come here. Otherwise, you will miss a lot of things. And maybe you are like Thomas. I will tell you what happened on Tuesday. By the way, Tuesday, we had a very good time here for our life group. Maybe I can go to Mike and tell him, Mike, we experienced the God's presence. Holy Spirit was here. And he will believe me. But maybe I will go to somebody else. And that person will say, yeah, that's nice. In his mind will say, well, I don't believe it. I want to see with my own eyes. Then come here. Come when we are meeting. Yeah. And you will feel it and you will see it. And it's not just this place. I'm not talking about you'll only see Jesus when you come to church. But our meetings play a very important part of our journey. Probably 2 hours per week. Isn't that too much? No. I'm not going to go in that routine asking you how many times you stay on the phone each day. No. You know. You know that if you want, you can find time. And why are you looking for answers? On YouTube, on all those influencers who are talking about their own experience, look for answers in the Bible. Look for answers in the church. Look the answers to the elders who are appointed by God to lead us. But don't miss any opportunity to meet with other Christians, with other believers. Thomas learned his lesson. I really hope that we will not have to learn this kind of lesson on our own skin. Because we will feel sorry by missing it. So Tuesday, by the way, as I said, we had a very good meeting here. We prayed. Holy Spirit was here. And we felt very good. Who was not here missed it. But there is a second chance. Tuesday, we meet again at 7:30. So I hope you will come here, because it's very important. Yeah? And then at home, just read the Bible, pray, and look for answers when you have a question. Don't just raise questions without looking for answers. It's up to you. Jesus ends up by saying, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing are blessed. This is very important because those who believe without seeing are blessed. It's us. I haven't seen Jesus. I haven't touched his hands. But I believe because I've seen Jesus in my life, in my daily walk with him. Without Jesus, I would not be here. You would not be here. You are here because you have probably questions, or maybe you had your answer and you don't want to miss any opportunity to be with God, but you are in the right place. No matter what is the reason that point you to be here with us, you are in the right place. If you have questions, come to me, to Mike, ask the questions, and we will try to answer to you. And just look how amazing Thomas was transformed, reset by Jesus. He says, my Lord and my God. He didn't say teacher, Rabuni, or any other names that Jesus had. He says, my Lord and my God. Are you able to say that? My Lord and my God to Jesus. Because that's exactly what Jesus is for us. Amen. He's our Lord. He's our God.
Amen.
So have faith in what you don't see yet, and you will see it after as a consequence of having faith first. I think you heard this many times. You just have to let it go. Just have faith. What's the worst that can happen? You'll only have answers if you have faith. First, you have to have faith, and then you will see. Just ask me, ask Mike, ask all of us. That's what we did in our journey with God. Should we end up with a prayer? Yeah? Yeah. So, Father Jesus, I just want to thank you for today. in our life, in a certain point of our life, we all acting like Thomas, or maybe today we are like Thomas. We have questions. We look for answers. We question everything if it's true or not. Just help us always to focus on you. And I just want to thank you that you are always ready to answer. And if we look in our lives, we've seen your presence already. We don't need to ask for more proofs. We know you are alive. We know we are redeemed by your blood. But it's so great to be in your presence. And we're going to look for your presence wherever we go, in our homes, when we travel, when we meet here. We want to feel you. We want to stay with you. We want to see you in different ways. So I'm just going to ask God that you're going to bless your people, your church, your body. If there are people here with questions, they will find a way to receive their answer. If there are people here who are doubting that you are alive, I'm asking in your name that they will start believing that you are alive, because you are. You are alive. And by playing these games of waiting and asking questions and not being sure and still not being sure after we've seen it all, we just miss a lot of opportunities to grow in our faith with you. And we don't want to miss any moment. We want to come closer to you because we love you. You loved us first. Even when we are sinners, you loved us. Yeah. And we want to walk with you, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I forgot to say something. I'm not sure how many of you know what happened with Thomas after all of this. He became a great apostle. He managed to travel all the way to south part of India, and he preached the gospel there. So from a person who said, I need proofs to believe, he was resetted by Jesus, and he went all the way to India. In south, in Chennai, was the place where he was killed with a spear. So he was a martyr. He died because he went all, even to the bottom of the world, to tell people about Jesus. So from Jerusalem to Tamil Nadu, the place where he died, they are 4,073 miles, according to Google Maps today. And if you walk, because I'm pretty sure he walked probably the most part of his journey without stopping, so walking 1,500 hours. But of course he stopped and he preached the gospel on the way. So he took a great journey to a place like India. Even back then, even then it was even worse than today, to go and preach the gospel. And he was there probably the first, because Jesus transformed his life. So let Jesus come into your life and he will transform you as well. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. Search for us online and get information about upcoming events and more great teaching.